from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
Here is the news read by Ray. First, the headlines. Tourist movement brings about positive impacts on the economy. Long school holiday period is predicted to increase tourist visits by 10 to 20%. And now the news in details. Adiyatama Tourism and Creative Economy, Principal Expert of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy of Indonesia, Nia Niscaya, pointed out that the long Idul Adha holidays from 15 to 18 June 2024 encouraged the movement of tourists in Indonesia. This was conveyed by Nia Niscaya in a press briefing in Jakarta on Wednesday. She also explained that based on dashboard of the Indonesian Transport Information System and Transportation Facilities, Ministry of Transportation during Idul Adha holiday, train more transportation has transported 709,841 passengers. Air transportation served 1,030,998 passengers, and land transportation transported 755,479 passengers. According to Nia, the number of archipelago tourists has an impact on the economy through the high volume of movement in spite of small spending.
Dalam liburan cuma beberapa hari, bisnis itu bisa sekian.
In a vacation of only a few days, there were lots of domestic tourists. Indeed, the spending was small, unlike foreign tourists, but the volume was large so that revenue had an impact on the economy. Moreover, Nia Niscaya has further conveyed that Bali was still a favorite destination of the Idul Adha holidays, 70 to 80%. According to Nia, Jakarta was also a tourism destination for Idul Adha holidays. In Jakarta, many domestic tourists visited Ragunan Zoo, Taman Mini Indonesia Indah, and the Jakarta Fair, which has just been open. Moving on to the second news. Adiyatama Tourism and Creative Economy Principal Expert of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy of Indonesia, Nia Niscaya, revealed that long school holidays are predicted to increase tourist visits by 10 to 20%. In a press briefing in Jakarta on Wednesday, she said that the long school holidays are harvest period for domestic tourists, that school children are off and parents can take leave. According to Nia Niscaya, with the increase in domestic tourist visits, preparation is needed both in terms of industry players and managers of tourism attractions in a bid to create pleasant travel experience.
Dan diperlukan persiapan baik dari sisi
It needs preparation both in terms of industry players and attraction managers because be careful. This will happen in one place at one time. This is not easy and must be managed properly because the tourism business is a perception business. When people visit a tourism destination, they really feel their experience. When their experience is not good, it's a disaster. And the people will share about bad experiences and will not return. Therefore, the success of promotion is when people come and come again. Furthermore, Nianis Jayas further said during the long school holidays, the Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy in coordination with tour operators and travel agents prepare tour packages and attractive tourism promotion. She also recommended the public that during this long school holidays to travel in Indonesia. They should visit, for example, 5 Indonesian super priority destinations, such as Lake Toba in West Sumatra, Borobudur in Central Java, Mandalika in West Nusa Tenggara, Likupang in North Sulawesi, and Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara. Moving on to the third news, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources has proposed a quota of 19.99 million kiloliters for the distribution of fuel subsidies in 2025. During a working meeting with Commission 7 of the House of Representatives in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Arifin Tasrif remarked that his side proposed the volume of subsidized fuel in the 2025 draft state budget to be 18.84 million to 19.99 kiloliters. He also informed that the subsidized fuel comprise around 0.51 million to 0.55 million kiloliters of kerosene fuel and around 18.33 million to 19.44 million kiloliters of diesel fuel. The fourth news. Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian called on regional governments to team up with food producers to control the rate of inflation. He believes that synergy among 552 regional leaders, family welfare empowerment, mobilization teams, and business actors will help the country put a lid on inflation rates by ensuring sufficient food stocks. This was said by Minister Karnavian in a statement received from his office on Wednesday. He made the statement during the handover of 15,120 packs of cooking oil from the Indonesian Vegetable Oil Industry Association to the chairwoman of the Home Affairs Ministry Central PKK Mobilization Team, Tri Suswati Karnavian. The cooking oil will then be distributed under the cheap market movement. The fifth news, Saudi Railways on Wednesday hailed the success of Mashar train operation at this year's Hajj season, saying the metro services had transported more than 2.2 million passengers between the 9 stations in Arafat, Muzdalifah, and Mina, operating 2,206 trips as reported by ArabNews.com. More than 29,000 worshippers were transported on the first day of the pilgrimage, while more than 292,000 pilgrims were carried out to Mina to Arafat. The Mashar train then transported over 305,000 people during the pilgrimage of Arafat to Muzdalifah and the other 383,000 worshippers from Muzdalifah to Mina. The sixth news. President Vladimir Putin said that Russia and North Korea have ramped up ties to a new level, pledging to help each other if their nation is attacked in a breakthrough new partnership announced during the Russian president's rare visit to their reclusive state. As reported by CNN.com, thousands of North Koreans chanting "Welcome Putin" lined the city's wide boulevards brandishing Russian and North Korean flags and bouquet of flowers. As President Putin kicked off his visit to North Korea in 24 years with a finely choreographed display of influence in the dictatorship. The pair then signed the new strategic partnership to replace previous deals in 1961, 2000, and 2001. And the final news.
The latest Vietnam Energy Outlook report, Pathways to Net Zero, said that Vietnam's goal of achieving net zero emission by 2050 is not technically feasible, but also the most cost-optimized scenario. But the report launched on Wednesday also pointed out that to achieve its net zero commitments, Vietnam's CO2 emission need to peak in 2030. The country's transition to a green energy also needs to be carried out at a faster pace than before. As quoted by VOVworld.vn, Danish ambassador to Vietnam Nikolai Prids told the report's launch ceremony in Hanoi, "The release of the Vietnam Outlook report marks a pivotal moment in our energy partnership. A crucial part of the Vietnam-Denmark Green Strategic Partnership, it provides us with a realistic pathway to achieve the net zero target." And that was the news, read by Ray.
We begin today in history with the event on June 20, 1912, when vitamin was discovered. On June 20, 1912, Polish Dr. Casimir Fang discovered the presence of very beneficial substance in food, and he called these substances vitamins. Scientists Casimir Fang and Zane Georgi tried to isolate and separate vitamins from food, but they discovered that the separate vitamins are not as effective as when vitamins are naturally mixed in food. We move to the event of June 20, 1991, when Berlin was back to the capital city of Germany. After the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 and reunification in 1990s, the German Parliament decided to return the German capital for Bonn to Berlin on 20 June 1991. While Bonn City, which had been the temporary capital of the Federal Republic of Germany from 3 November 1949 to 1990s, now became a federal city. We end today in history with the event about World Refugee Day. Since 2001, the United Nations has declared June 20 as a World Refugee Day. The reason is that on June 20, 2001, the 1951 Convention of the Status of Refugee reached its 50 years. In addition, the Organization of African Unity agreed that World Refugee Day coincided with African Refugee Day, which also falls on 20 June. World Refugee Day is commemorated to raise world awareness about the situation of refugees around the world. On this day, the UN expresses its respect for the courage of refugees who have faced many problems after losing their homes due to conflict or violence and their contribution to the environment. That's today in history.
Suasana baru, kau mampu tenangkan aku di saat risau dalam hatiku. Lembutnya sikapmu meluluhkan hati ini, terbuai aku terlena. Jantung pun bergetar.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesia debunks the 5.5 million hectares of peatland restoration need. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry said Indonesia has succeeded in breaking the myth that degraded peatlands cannot be restored, referring to the success of restoring 5.5 million hectares of peatlands so far. Director General of Environmental Pollution and Damage Control at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Sigit Riliantoro, on Wednesday said that Indonesia had experienced severe forest and land fires in several periods of time, including in 2015 when it occurred on an area of 2.6 million hectares. Regarding this, he said over the last 10 years, the Indonesian government has launched a strategy to prevent and restore damaged peat ecosystems. In addition, providing legal actions to individuals and corporations has proven to be involved in damage to the peat ecosystem in the country. Until 2023, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry has carried out an inventory of 300 peat hydrological units with an area of 15.42 million hectares out of a total of 24.67 million hectares, or 63% of the peat hydrological units has been inventoried. The ministry has also carried out restoration of peat ecosystems, especially hydrological one in concession areas, reaching 3.9 million hectares spread across 73 industrial plantation forests and 259 oil palm plantations. Sigit also emphasized that the government is also carrying out restoration work in areas outside the concession through the Independent Peatland Care Independent Village Program, which collaborates with 272 villages with a peat wet area reaching 51,000 hectares by 2023. He also highlighted that the Peat and Mangrove Restoration Agency had reported that 1.6 million hectares had been restored by 2023. The agency previously reported that it had carried out peat restoration on around 1.8 million hectares of land in 2016 until 2023. Meanwhile, Main Secretary of the Peat Land and Mangrove Restoration Agency, Ayu Dwi Utari, conveyed that in its peat restoration effort, the agency is taking a 3R approach, namely re-wetting or re-wetting the land, revegetation or replanting, and economic revitalization of communities around the peat ecosystem. Re-wetting is carried out by building canal blocks, drill wells, and various other efforts to re-wetting the land. Moreover, replanting plants that are suitable for the peat ecosystem, as well as encouraging improvements in the welfare of local residents. In particular, Ayu Dewi explained that the Peatland and Mangrove Restoration Agency continues to carry out socialization to change the habit of burning land in preparation for agricultural activities. That's My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Beach Atlas, a London-based startup that focuses on beach information across the globe, has launched its Global Beach Award 2024, which lists the top 100 beaches in the world. Indonesia, with its rich natural resources, managed to place two of its beaches on the list. Kelingking Beach in Klungkung, Bali ranks 34th, and Double Six Beach in Seminyak, Bali ranks 77th. The beaches' assessment was done through voting from travel experts and influencers based on certain criteria. In 77th place, there is Double Six Beach, which is one of the beach destinations in Bali. Double Six Beach is famous for its pristine golden sand and clear sea water. The beach has a charming panorama, especially its beauty during sunset. A series of fun tourist activities can be done here. If you like surfing, it has quite big waves, so you can surf here. If you do not bring a surfboard, don't worry, because there is a surfboard rental place. If you like adrenaline pumping activities, you must try bungee jumping. You will plunge from a height until you touch the seawater. This will be an unforgettable experience. Besides trying adrenaline pumping activities, you can enjoy the beautiful views of Double Six Beach by horse riding. Enjoying its beauty while on horseback will certainly create a memorable experience. There are also cafes and restaurants to eat and relax while enjoying the beautiful sunset at Double Six Beach.
Cinta, aku mendengar nyanyian seribu dewa dewi cinta menggema dunia. Bila aku jatuh cinta, aku melihat matahari kan datang padaku dan memelukku dengan sayang. Bila aku jatuh cinta, aku melihat sang bulan
jatuh cinta.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners, today's edition of Miscellany comes to greet you with the title Bali Art Festival 2024. Listener, the 46th Bali Art Festival in 2024 was opened in Denpasar on June 15. This event was held as the largest art event in Bali, which aims to preserve, develop, and promote the art of the island of the goats. The opening of the festival was marked by the beating of Kul Kul Together by Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Angela, Minister of Agrarian and Land Development Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection Igusti Ayu Bintang Dharmawati, and Acting Governor of Bali SM Mahendra Jaya. After attending the opening ceremony, Angela said that the annual event, which has been held since 1979, is an effective means to promote Bali tourism through cultural arts. She also hopes that this event can attract tourist visits so that it can encourage the achievement of the target of foreign tourists and domestic tourists this year. As in previous years, the opening of the Bali Art Festival was filled with Pidaya or Parade, which began with the gamelan attractions Adi Merdanga Processions of Siwa Nataraja Dance by the Indonesian Institutes of Art or ISI Denpasar. This was followed by cultural parades from 9 regencies and cities throughout Bali. This parade illustrates the diverse potential and spirit of the Balinese people in supporting the strengthening and advancement of Balinese culture. After the opening ceremony, the next Bali Art Week will be centered at Taman Werdi Budaya Bali or the Denpasar City Art Center. Bali Art Festival 2024 takes place from June 15 to July 13, 2024, involving more than 13,000 artists from 285 art institutions such as studios, foundations, and villages in Bali. The Bali Art Festival, which this year carries the theme Jana Karti Paramguna Wirakrama, is included in the Top 10 Charisma Event Nusantara or CAIN of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy in 2024. In addition to Taman Werdi Budaya Bali, the festival is also held around the Bajra Sandi Bali People's Struggle Monument. During the month of implementations, the festival will also be filled with a number of main materials, including Rekasadana or performance, Utsawa or parade, Wimbakara or competitions, Kandarupa or exhibitions, Kriyaloka or workshop, Widyatula or Sarasehan, and Adi Sewa Kanugraha or Art Service Awards. Dear listeners, that was Miscellany for today. Bye-bye.
ada aku dan tiga pemuda berbahaya yang selalu menemanimu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, we are gonna play a song by Bragi. Bragi, a music group founded by three brothers, namely Aldi as piano, keyboard, vocal, Randy as bass, Echa as drums and vocals, plus Erwin as guitar, and John as harmonica. The name Bragi was chosen at the suggestion of Echa after they struggled for a long time to find a suitable name for their music group. In 1997, Bragi released his first album entitled Janji or Promise. This album consists of 9 songs and features the song Promise as its flagship song. The song Janji or Promise tells the story of someone who regrets his mistakes in the past. Now, he tries to convince and promise that he will not make a mistake and promises to always be by her partner's side forever. Listener, here's Bragi with Janji. Happy listening.
Sesal datang lagi bila kau ungkit salahku yang dulu. Semua yang kini ku lakukan masih datangkan rasa ragu. Beri
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Berawal cari pengalaman, meninggalkan kampung halaman, berbekal nasihat dan doa dari orang-orang tercinta. Berbohong tentang keadaan agar mereka tak kepikiran, selalu menanti saatnya kembali, meski kadang hanya setahun sekali.
Of Indonesia.
Cinta kita tak setiaan ini pada ketulusan ai 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 si teri.